I'm Christine Dean, and this is Live from Studio A. And I think we have a first here. I don't think that we've ever had a pro skateboarder in the studio before, who also happens to be a musician. Welcome to Josh Harmony and Company. Welcome, Josh.
Yes, thank you. Glad to be here.
And you're a pretty eclectic guy. Do you want to introduce the band, first of all, before we...
Absolutely. Ladies first, Colleen Budge on the drums, and then Christoph Martin on bass.
Well, welcome to all of you to the studio. But you are such an eclectic guy. You are not only a skateboarder, you are a musician, you're an artist. That's amazing. How do you find time for it all? And your dad, I've heard, too. So.
I am. I don't know. I just try. I don't watch very much TV. That's how it happens.
All right. That explains why I never get anything done. You are all playing tonight at the Rex Bar as part of the Prove Gallery's after party for their Plies with Purpose event, which is a fundraiser for a new skate park, which is being planned in Gary, New Duluth. So that's pretty cool that you are able to support something like that. That's near and dear to your heart, I would expect.
Absolutely. And huge shout out to Taylor for making it possible. And even hooking us up with you guys as well. So thank you, Taylor. Keep listening.
Well, I have so many questions for you about how the music and skateboarding go together and all that stuff, but why don't we just get started with a song? What do you want to play first here?
Sure. We're going to start out with Are You Happy Now? And it's sort of a new single that is been put out just recently. So,
yeah.
Here you go.
Around, goes around, and it's going fast. Looking forward, you were always looking back. When you get what you want, will you play the game? Recompense, it depends. Can you feel the pain? Feel the pain. Are you happy now? Are you happy now? Are you happy now? Are you happy now? Now, are you happy now? Everything as it seems when you're on your own. Burning bridges with precision on the telephone. When there's nobody left, will you break the rules? In your plans for the truth, you were nobody's fool. Nobody's fool. You're giving up the confidence you love. Save nothing from the battle. Are you happy now? Are you happy now? Are you happy now? Are you happy now? Now, are you happy?
Josh Harmony and Company live from Studio A, and a new single from them, Are You Happy Now? Very melodic. This music you've been doing is very melodic, it seems.
Oh, cheers. Yeah, I appreciate a good melody, you know.
Who doesn't?
I know.
Maybe, well, some people don't.
I like to try to find something that's maybe a little bit different, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So your main gig for a very long time has been skateboarding, right?
Yeah.
You started as a pro when you were 17, is that right?
Yeah.
And so, but you've played music that whole time too, I read somewhere.
Yeah, except skateboarding's a pretty demanding thing. So I think I always played guitar when I was hurt, you know. I'd bring guitars and stuff on tours and learn. I don't know. Since now that I'm getting older, I still skate a ton, but I'm definitely pretty much putting it all on music, you know, just really going after it.
Well, I would imagine that it is a profession that does kind of have an expiration date on it for a couple of different reasons, the physicality involved and the injuries involved.
Right.
I doubt if there are many pro skateboarders who haven't beaten themselves up a ton. Are you showing off some battle scars
here?
Yeah,
can you see my...
Through your flannel?
Yeah, can you see it?
I can't. Oh, a lump.
Yeah.
Wow.
I've got a fake hip, too, on my right hip.
Well, and I had read that kind of, like, you'd always done music, but what made you really take it more seriously was in 2009 you had an issue with your hip.
Right.
And they were telling you, you're not going to be able to skateboard in a few years. You're done. And so you needed to figure out what to do. So tell me about that.
Right. Yeah. Well, I was skating at UC Davis, and these two photo students came up and were right after I was done skating the spot, which you were allowed to skate there. But they came up and they said, hey, will you do another trick for us? And I was like, sure. So I get up and I go for a tail slide, which isn't going to mean anything to anybody on the radio. But I fell backwards down these stairs and blew out the cartilage in my hip. And then I could barely walk. And then I went to the doctor. I went to two different doctors. And both of them said, you're going to need a hip replacement. And then in 10 years, you're going to be in a wheelchair. And that's pretty much, that's your lot kind of thing. And then... I had a surgery that made things a little bit better for a minute, but then they shaved off the growth spurs around the joint, but after that surgery, after I healed up from that, my range of motion was gone. I couldn't even tie my shoe, and then I was going on skate trips and didn't tell my sponsors what I was going through, you know, and I could barely bend down and tie my shoe, but I was trying to skate and get photos and stuff to keep my sponsors happy and stuff. So it was a really scary time, and I really confided in music and writing and stuff to kind of fill that void, because it was a lot of frustration. It was a nice respite for me, you know, being able to play music.
And so you started doing more music, and had you played out before, or had you just been focused on the skateboarding and just kind of did the music recreationally?
Yeah, more recreationally. And then sometimes, like, we'd do tours and stuff, and then we'd play live and stuff. But, you know, but now I think we're hitting a little bit harder. Now I've teamed up with these guys. We're definitely trying to hit the road and play shows. So if anybody's listening and wants to do something, let's do this.
Well, and it must be a little weird, because you've been doing something that that you're really good at, and you've been, that has been your life for a long time, and you're having to switch gears and kind of figure out a new thing. Does it feel like that? Like, kind of like, okay, I know how to do that, the other thing. Do you know what I mean? Like, do you know how to set up a music career? Or is it, I mean, it must be similar in some ways, right? Because you're traveling and you're doing some of the same things. But
yeah, it seems like just doing it and being after it. I mean, that's kind of how it happened in skateboarding, you know, and just taking opportunities and just seeing that you're putting out the best material you can, you know, I don't know. I don't really know how it works. I don't think anybody that's successful in music from what, I mean, I know a few people have had pretty successful careers in music, and it just seems like you just have to get after it, you know? I don't think that there's any kind of formula, you know, until you get to, like, a certain point, and then you've got, you know, PR people going running around for you and whatnot and all that stuff.
So, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, but most of it is just having the passion for it.
Yeah, having the passion.
And just doing it.
Yeah, absolutely, you know, and to stick it out, you know?
Mm-hmm. So you're doing something, you know, a little pop, a little psychedelic now,
right?
But I've read that, you know, you kind of started, like, you're more into, or you've also done, like, acoustic bluesy type stuff.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Is that what you first started doing when you started taking it more seriously, music more seriously?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, okay, so when I started playing, my favorite guitar player for a long time when I was a kid was a guy named John Fahey. Do you know who that is?
Yeah, he's a very well-respected guitarist.
Yeah, he's like a finger style, you know, player. And then that kind of opened up. I found out about that guy from reading a Mojo magazine, and someone had mentioned him, and I was like, I'm gonna check that out. And then I looked him up, and then that kind of opened this door to all this kind of country blues stuff. Like, Reverend Gary Davis is another one that's one of my favorites. And yeah, just that whole world of blues and stuff. And I kind of marinated on that for a good while with just playing the acoustic guitar. And that's just fun because you kind of are your own band, you know. But it has its limitations as well. You know, it's got, I don't know. For me right now, what I'm just digging on is just doing the rock stuff because it's so fun. It's fun to be in a band and work with these guys and get the dynamics down and get all the parts written out. And recording's been super fun. We're working on a ton of stuff right now. So
nice.
Yeah.
How long has this project been together?
Not very long, about 6 months.
Oh, okay.
So we've only been performing live for about 4.
Mm-hmm. So. Were you writing songs before then, like that, these kind of songs?
Yeah, I was, yeah. Mm-hmm. I've got stuff in the back pocket that I bring out, and I work out, I try to write every day, so.
Kind of that discipline of it?
Yeah, I definitely am disciplined. Some days are better than others, you know.
Are there some days where you do not get anything that...
Oh, yeah.
That you're
some days
keep.
Are just horrible. Mm-hmm. But some days are amazing. Some days I'll sit down and just get the melody line of something. And then, you know, I don't know. It's weird. Sometimes whole songs just come, you know, where you can hear the bridge or something in your head while you're doing the chorus or whatever, you know. But then other days it takes months, you know. Mm-hmm. Other times or other songs it takes months.
Mm-hmm. Well, how did you find Colleen and Christoph, and how did they become part of your...
Yeah,
band here.
So my brother-in-law is friends with our buddy TC, who's a photographer, and we have a guys' night where we meet up and just, like, sit around, drink beer, and talk, and bro down, and Christoph's one of the bros from that, you know, the guys' night, and, you know, he came over to my house, and I showed him some of my songs, and then...
I saw potential.
You saw the potential?
That's right.
Thank you.
No problem.
And then
I was friends with Colleen going way back, and I had never played in a band with her, but I was excited about doing something creative with her. So when Josh wanted to put a band together, I was like, we should get Colleen on the drums.
Nice. And had you, Christoph, had you been in other projects down in the Twin Cities, and are you still in anything else?
Yeah, I came up playing a ton in the Twin Cities and doing some touring up to Duluth and through the Midwest, and I played in a band called Dance Band that played up here quite a bit.
Oh, we love Dance Band.
Yeah, I wrote all the music for Dance Band, and my friend Paul fronted it. So we got to play a bunch of events up here. There were art events, and they were so cool. We had a lot of fun in Duluth.
You played at Geek Prom,
yep,
which
exactly.
is one of my favorite appearances that you all made. That makes me so happy.
Yeah.
We have someone from Dance Band in the room. And Colleen, I don't know if you can get to the overhead mic there. How about you? What have you done musically in addition to this?
Yeah, I played in a band called Sister Bear. Okay. I played guitar and sang in that band. My two sisters and my brother-in-law.
Oh, fun.
Family band. Yeah.
Wow, that's great. Well, you all sound great together, and let's hear another song. What do you want to do next,
sure.
Josh?
This one's a little bit heavier. It's called It's All Right. Disillusion's nothing new. I could play it all for you if you want me to. It's alright, I won't mind. It's alright. Did you miss another cue? We
could take them all from you if you want us to. We create something to lose, nullify the answers, all the precedents untrue, and the things we don't want to remember. It's alright, I won't mind. It's alright, it's alright, I won't mind. No more lies, it's
Josh Harmony and Company, live from Studio A. And you said you're working on an album. Is that one that might find its way there?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that one's It's All Right. And yeah, we've got some other songs we're stewing up. We're kind of just trickling singles out right now, you know, just get people's attention and stuff, so it's not overwhelming for everybody.
And you have a Bandcamp. If people want to check those out, where can they go?
Yeah, it's joshharmony.bandcamp.com. And then it's also on Spotify and stuff like that and other streaming whatnots. But the plan and hope is to put out singles and be able to tour and get enough attention around those and then put out like a proper vinyl and then maybe not have all the songs available digitally so that people can, you know, support and, you know, have something that's actually special that's not just out there.
Mm-hmm. And sounds good. Vinyl sounds so
absolutely
good.
Absolutely. Yeah, so we're spending a lot of time on the recording process and just getting things right. And yeah, it's a fun process, and these guys are amazing, and they hear stuff that not everybody hears. And I mean, if you get Christoph going on waves and how they collide and stuff, it's just you won't get him to stop.
Great. So it's very appropriate that you played Geek Prom, in other words.
Yeah.
I'm very nerdy about smooth, wonderful things. I'm like, mm-hmm. How exactly does great music that makes people feel amazing work scientifically?
And that doesn't ruin it for you?
Absolutely not. Okay. It just makes it more true.
Interesting. Okay, that's very interesting. And Christoph, so you're in, or not Christoph, I was going to ask Josh. So you're not originally from Minneapolis, I don't think, are you?
No.
How did you end up there?
Gosh. Well, I've lived all over the place. I was born in Cincinnati, Ohio, and then my parents moved us all around until I was 6, and we lived in California. We lived there until I was 14, and then we moved to the Chicagoland area. And then we moved back to California at 17. That's when I got sponsored and everything. And then we lived there, and I, you know, had my career all the way up until almost 2 years ago now. And my wife's family moved to the Twin Cities, and we'd come and visit and just really enjoyed the lakes and just enjoyed being away from it all. And I figured if I cash in my chips over here, then I can maybe continue a musical career and you know, pursue art and stuff and not be so stressed out by just all the bills that are associated with Southern California and everything, you know?
Right, definitely. So, I'm sure a very different standard of living.
Yeah, and hoping to tour and everything. I mean, it's been so nice because we have a family too, my wife and I, and so having space for the boys and everything, it's just a better life. California is amazing for what it is and everything, but you get a lot more for, you know, out of your life here, you know, California can suck the life out of you, you know,
mm-hmm.
It's expensive and I don't know. It's really cool. I love it. And I hope to tour there a lot and visit a lot I love it dearly. It's dear to my heart. But raising a family, I'd rather be out here for sure.
Yeah. Well, and it's nice that you have those connections there, especially as you're trying to get your music career going. And yeah. Are there people that come to your shows because they know you from skateboarding? Does that kind of help build those audiences to say, oh, I like that guy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I love all those people that do that. I mean, it's just I know how it's like, too. I mean, growing up in skating, like, I love Ray Barbie, and I love his music. And
is he a...
Yeah, he's a pro skateboarder that's also a musician.
Nice.
And
okay.
Tommy Guerrero is
mm-hmm.
another one.
Mm-hmm.
And those guys play, like, bluesy, jazzy kind of rock stuff, and they're just amazing. And I don't know, they're heroes of mine. So, and it always meant so much to me how cool those guys were. So I always try to be super nice to people that show up because of skating, because, mm-hmm. you know, we're skate bros.
Well, and you've also had some of your music featured in, you know, various skating videos and
yeah.
stuff, so people are familiar with it from that.
Yeah.
Were you playing electric before you put the band together? On your own, were you playing electric?
A little here and there. Mm-hmm. I was in a surf rock band that didn't have any music or any lyrics or vocals in it. It was called Freckles.
Hmm.
And we did a whole album we're probably going to put out just to do it and try to get placements for stuff and everything. I love those guys. They're in California. But this is where my heart's at. I really want to pursue this music and, you know, be writing songs, you know, that you can sing to and stuff. But
mm-hmm.
yeah, so the Freckles kind of opened my eyes really to, like, what playing rock music live can do. Because when you get people moving and everything, it's so engaging, you know. It's really fun. Like, I played live where it's just acoustic and stuff, and that usually can either be amazing or just be no one cares kind of thing. Where, like, with rock music, it's a little bit more fun to, like, move with people. You know what I mean? And
mm-hmm.
just and when people are feeling it and it's going off, I mean, it's just like there's nothing else like that. You
mm-hmm.
know, it's like it feels so good.
Mm-hmm. So you've been playing guitar for a long time, but I was thinking about kind of the skill sets involved in both skateboarding and in music, and how they both kind of involve you get better at something by just doing it over and over again. Do you have kind of a focus? That ability to focus that's helped you, you know, do both things?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's, I mean, I'm pretty good at focusing in my time, but I think that honestly, like, it's repetition, you know? I think it's discipline and it's hunger. Like, you got to want it. You got to have passion to learn a song. Like, to play any, like, blues song properly or fingerstyle song properly, I mean, it takes years just for one song, just to feel okay with it, you know? But if you keep going at it, and then, you know, I think all those things kind of cross-pollinate, like all the songs you kind of put in your repertoire, they create something new in your playing and can help you. But it's sad. A lot of people kind of give up before they get to that place. But I don't know, it takes years. It takes a lot of time. Like, I have a pact with myself to play my guitar every single day. Like, I don't let a day go by without me playing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I think it's... I don't know. I can focus, but I think it's more like just the commitment, you know?
Right. Yeah. So it's one of that genius is, you know, this much inspiration and this much perspiration. It's 10% inspiration and 90% perspiration, or however that expression goes, that I've just completely mangled.
We know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm
we
talking
totally
about. Did. Yeah. I hope our listeners know what I'm talking about
yeah.
there. So that's kind of what you're saying. Like,
yeah.
you sit down and you do the work. You said you write every single day.
And it's just, yeah, it's wild, too, because when you show something, like when you're playing, when I play something in my room, I can kind of feel that I like it. But it's not until that I play it in front of these guys or I show it to these guys that the feeling, like, as soon as I email them or if I show it to them in person, like, something happens there. Like, something's different. It's not just me anymore. And then you hear the song differently. You know what I mean? And so I think sometimes just sharing your music with people is, like, huge, you know? Not that I have all the answers or anything, but, like, I don't know. There's something that happens where you're like, you hear how corny something is, or you hear how something's not working, or you hear a weakness, you know, when someone else is present. Whereas, like, you can be content with stuff, I think, on your own, that when you share it with other people, it takes a different life. It's really weird.
Interesting. And then I was going to ask you one more thing, which was, I know. So this benefit tonight is
yeah.
for a new skate park. And so I was thinking about, you know, what it's like to be being a young skater, and not everybody takes it very seriously or thinks that it's worth, you know what I mean? Like, is it hard? Was it hard? You were, you know, in places where maybe it was easier to find places to skate and where it wasn't stigmatized, but do people still kind of stigmatize it? I know that skateboarding has gotten more popular through the years, but, you know.
Like if people associate it with, like, losers and stuff kind of thing?
Or just, like, you know, troublemakers, and they're, right. you know, like, here in Duluth, skateboarders are banned from Canal Park and things like
right.
that. And maybe people not supporting as much, you know, hey, we need a new skate park, and
right.
maybe not understanding that. Or
yeah. I don't know. I think skaters have always kind of been offbeat, kind of like how surfers are, or people that play rock music and stuff now. And it's kind of similar in the way that, like, rock music's acceptable now, but it wasn't in the past. And I think things just take a while to catch on like that. And I think skating definitely has certain areas it's more accepted than others. But I think people are intimidated by it because it's different and it's free. You know, it's like not free in the sense of, like, it doesn't cost anything, but free in the sense where it's like, you know, you're the one that chooses what you skate, and you know what I mean? There's just something about it. And then also, like, I don't know, we could get deep into it, but there's a rebelliousness in it, that in the sense of where it came from. Like, it's skateboarding in the modern sense started in the 70s with a drought that happened in Southern California, where it was illegal to put water in your pool. So when you couldn't put water in your pool, what does it look like? A wave. So kids that were riding skateboards just saw the potential and started doing it. So they were doing something totally illegally, hopping in the back of, you know, people's houses and skating these pools and probably, you know, damaging property. But at the same time, something beautiful was being created, you know? So I think it just depends on what way you look at it, you
mm-hmm.
know? And it's terrible to wreck someone's property, and hopefully the skate park will you know, help keep the kids off of people's stuff and give them a place to skate properly and learn properly, because it is a beautiful thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like you can go there by yourself and learn things. And, you know, if there's one thing with skating, it's like you just really have to try. You have to try so much, and it's like impossible to learn a trick without getting hurt. Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't even know if there's a trick that I've learned that I haven't gotten hurt in the process of, or at least banged up my shins or something. You know what I mean? And so you got to give credit to kids that are crazy enough to, like, try it. You know what I mean? Those are the kids that are thinking outside the box. I think a lot of them are going to, you know, can end up to be great people. You know, I mean, there's a lot of skaters that have gone on and do great things, you know, and in the arts and film and all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, and do you see it differently now that you have children and they might want to do those kinds of things? And is it harder for you as a parent to think, oh, they're going to get hurt? Or are you okay with it because you know what that's part of the deal?
I'm okay with it. I'm a pretty rough and tumble guy. So it's like broken bones don't scare me. I mean, I don't want them to get hurt by all means, but it's like, I don't know. Everybody makes their own choices, you know? And so whether I want them to skate or not, it's like they're still going to skate if they have that passion. So it's like I just want to be supportive in any way I can, you
mm-hmm.
know?
And were your parents like that? Were they, you know, just, okay, that's what he wants to do?
Yeah, surprisingly. I mean, growing up skating in the early 90s, it was like looked at as a losery thing. And I've had friends that, you know, their dads would hit them and stuff and take their boards and break them and throw them in the trash and just for skating, you know, just being interested in something. And some of those kids didn't turn out great because their dads treated them that way. And I was super lucky to have a dad that he'd give me opportunities to, like, do, you know, work around the house and earn skateboards or things that I needed, and just, you know, taught me through that. He actually set up a credit card, dad credit card, where he put interest on it, and I would, like, borrow money, and I learned how terrible having debt is from me.
Wow, that's great. I
yeah,
love it.
I don't know. I feel super lucky because my parents are always so supportive in anything I did.
Mm-hmm.
They always made me work for myself, but I feel very lucky, thankful for them.
That's great. Oh, and one last thing I wanted to ask you about. So you're also an artist, and I think that you posted a picture of a board that you had designed or painted or whatever, you know. Whatever.
Yeah.
So how did that, I mean, how... Where did that come from? Have you been doing that simultaneously with all of your other interests? Has that always been an interest as well?
Yeah, it has. I mean, I would bring, like, doodle books and stuff on tour and stuff. I don't know what it is. It's just something that I just feel like I have to do. It's like I don't know. It's like if I don't do it, like I get sad. And so I just try to do the things that make me happy. And I think, like, drawing faces or drawing some weird thing that I can kind of picture in my mind and then, like, getting it out, like, just makes me feel better for some reason. And I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Just, I think other people that paint and do stuff like that know what it's like, you know? It's like if you don't listen to music for a while, like people listening probably know what that's like. If you go without listening to music, sometimes it could be good for you, but for the most part, it adds so much to the color of life, you know?
True. That's true. And I should say, again, thank you. You greeted me with a present of a plant, and you had painted the pot, really, and it says KUMD on it. So we love that. Thank
awesome.
You so much.
Yeah,
well, we'll
pleasure.
Probably have to... I think we posted a picture of that on Instagram if you want to check that out. Well, we have time for one more song, Josh. What do you want to wrap up with here?
We're going to go with another heavy one called The Game. And people that are listening out there, thank you guys for listening in. Hopefully you have the chance to come check us out, give us a high five, and party with us tonight. Yoop!
Your plans in a different way. You're out of order again. Try to rearrange, but you will be sorry. No one but you will come for you. Like the mind's involuntary waves, you revive endorphins again. Try to keep the space, but they never make it. For instance, take a choice you make. The lines are blurred to make you break. You're on your way. As long as you play the game, the one virtue will come for you. No, I can't wait. No, I can't stay. Your master calls them down the hall. The rules to break, you know that.
That is Josh Harmony and Company live from Studio A. And another song that I'm going to say is probably going to be on your album.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
Is there any estimated time of arrival for that album?
Well, this next, we're going to put out an EP, which is going to be 3 songs just to keep people happy in through the holidays and stuff, keep the interest out there. But then the album will probably be sometime in the next year, probably, I don't know, maybe 4 months from now, I would say. But we're going to keep trickling singles out there and just keep things going and hopefully do some touring as well and see if a label maybe wants to team up with doing a vinyl or something like that.
Okay. And so you guys are playing tonight at the Rex Bar. And what time does that start? Do you know?
I believe it starts at 10 o'clock.
Okay. And that is before that, you can... stop by Prove Gallery, let me say that correctly, for the Plies with Purpose event. Are you going to be there as well?
We will be there.
All right, so you can, if you want to step by and meet Josh and the band, they'll be hanging out. And that is happening at Prove Gallery this evening. And then the after party at the Rex.
Yep, 7 o'clock at Prove.
7 o'clock, and then the after party at 10. Great. Thanks for filling that in. Yeah. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciated having you all in here.
Yeah, thank you, Christine. Thanks for having us.
No problem.
You.
Today's Live from Studio A was produced by me, Christine Dean, with help from Andrew Ressler and Emma Gilhausen, with funding provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. To check out upcoming guests or to listen to previous sessions, go to KUMD.org and click on Live from Studio A under Programs. This is Live from Studio A on 103.3 KUMD. Thanks for listening.